Welcome to the 282nd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thanks for listening. It's a little chilly here in Southwest Florida, but it's a little chilly all over the place. At least we don't have snow, but I've had some days where I've actually got to put on tights and a buff to run in, so that's pretty good. Next race is a 50-miler in Texas, the Hoka Rocky Hoka 50-miler. And so I've had my biggest week of running for a long time, 61 miles last week. Nice and easy for the most part, most of them. So just creeping up on the amount of miles every day. My new puppy, Sophie, is helping Gretchen and I get a few extra miles in, where Sophie is just 4 months old, so she's doing a little walking. So I'm actually incorporating my walks with her into my daily mileage, so adding on a little bit in the beginning of a run or at the end of the run, trying to get Sophie to walk on a leash. And she's doing quite well. I think she's going to be a good runner someday. I hope I can keep up with her, but for now, she's just doing a little bit of walking. I want to talk a little bit about this holiday season. I know in our office, sometimes there's a little bit of holiday funk, holiday blues going around, especially with, you know, being locked in, shut in, COVID. It's been a rough year for a lot of people, and it's easy to get off track and kind of use food as, so well, what the heck, doesn't matter, I'll just eat what makes me happy. And there's also a lot of tradition involved in the holidays. I knew I grew up with a lot of holiday baking and candies and cookies, and that was part of a great part of holiday tradition for me. And over the years, I tried to keep that memory going in memory of my grandmother, who did most of that cooking and baking. And it can really complicate things, especially when we became vegan and, you know, try to make things that are the vegan version of something that's not quite so healthy, and carry on all the vegan or all the other traditions of the past. And I think it can put a lot of stress on people. We want things to be perfect. It certainly is on TV. I think, you know, when you look at some of those shows that are the funniest or have the most meaning, I think a lot of them come down to it's all about the simple things and finding a little peace over the holidays and a little bit of a downtime. I think we all get caught up in trying to make everything perfect, and we certainly remember the perfect, how things were perfect, and we forget about the things that weren't. Some of us didn't have such a perfect holiday in the past, and it's a sign of pain. So we just want to kind of get through them. And again, it all kind of can snowball into eating the wrong foods or drinking too much or really getting off the health bandwagon. And, you know, this time more than any, with the COVID and everything being around and people being ill, I think it's a good season to share health and to try to share some peace. And that's kind of what I'd like to focus on a little bit today, as opposed to trying to recreate sweet things that we've had before. Perhaps maybe share a little health with people, and not in your face, you know, you need to be healthier or, you know, do this and not that, but just an extension of peace and health to other people. And, you know, finding, again, celebrating the little wins as opposed to looking for the giant, you know, the giant perfect holidays or the giant price, the perfect gift for someone. I've been enjoying running in the morning and seeing people's Christmas lights on. You know, in years past, I saw people's lights on and I wondered why they left their lights on all night long. And it, for the most part, I thought, well, they're just burning a lot of electricity. But this year, it strikes me different. I've been really enjoying seeing people's light, more of a sense of hope this year, and just a sense that somebody did something for a stranger. It's almost like we're all trapped inside, and I'm going to put these lights out so that you can see them and I can share them with you, and you can have a sense of hope too. And so I've really been looking at them that way and enjoying people's lights and enjoying the effort they put up to put up lights. And I I kind of wondered, you know, when did the Christmas light thing all started? And the reality of it is, you know, it's thought that the lights were somewhat of a pagan tradition, you know, for the winter solstice, and hoping that if you put out lights or put out candles, that it might encourage the sun to warm the earth, and you know, the light of the days would get longer. It wasn't until the 1800s that people started putting candles on trees, Christmas trees, and actually putting them in little holders so that the trees didn't catch on fire. And then people started, you know, decorating. Of course, you can, you know, in Christian traditions, the Star of Bethlehem, or the light of Christ in the darkest of times. But I still think it's a, lights are a sign of hope and goodness in the world. And I've been taking those as little positive affirmations when I'm running in the morning, and it's a good way to give me a sense of peace before I start my day and the sun comes up, is to see other people's Christmas lights. So I've actually put mine on a timer so that they go off at about midnight and come back on early in the morning. So if somebody drives by my house, they can actually see my Christmas lights. It's a tough time of the year for plant-based people to go out to parties, because most of the stuff, again, has got butter or oil or too much, too rich, too much fat. It's all over the place. It's hard to stay out of it. Again, you remember the sweets of yesteryear, and sometimes that, you know, it's a comfort food, so to speak. But I think it's also an opportunity to share a plant-based recipe with someone. And again, share a little health. So you can pick out a recipe that you really like that's very, very healthy to share with people. If it's bringing a decoration like a wreath or a snowman or something made out of fruit, a tree made out of fruit, or a wreath made out of fruit, or a vegetable tray made out of fruit. I think that's a nice creative way to share something. I like making the bok choy pomegranate salad with the pomegranate seeds in it. It kind of reminds me of holly berries a little bit. You know, things with cranberries are very colorful. Very colorful vegetable dishes, I think, are really pretty on a table to share with people. And you can introduce a new fruit. You know, sending people fruit baskets from, you know, that may have a different fruit on them, or a different collection, or a different fruit arrangement is an idea for a gift, as opposed to, you know, just getting the sweet butter cookies in a can. We pretty much started new plant-based holiday traditions when we went plant-based. Our menu for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day changed, and you know, we build on that and subtract from that. Obviously, it evolved. You know, early on, we made more sweets. Now we make more vegetable trays, more fruit dishes. It's more focused on just a colorful table more than anything else. I think one good way to look at things is focusing on little wins throughout the day. We were talking today while running, and you know, liken this to eating your greens. I think Dr. Esselstyn was the one that, you know, came up with eating 6 cups of greens a day to help improve nitric oxide production. Certainly, there have been scientific studies showing that when people chew greens, you know, and I mean kale, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, arugula, cabbage, bok choy, beet top, Swiss chard, you know the drill. If you chew those, they mix with the microbes in your tongue and the amylase in your sputum, and the body actually releases nitric oxide, and nitric oxide dilates blood vessels all over the body. It dilates the little collateral blood vessels in your heart, improving blood flow to your heart. And over time, that nitric oxide also helps in the reaction that will help dissolve plaques in the arteries and reverse vascular disease. But it's a short-acting medication in that you eat it and it goes past your mouth and you absorb it and you get a burst of nitric oxide, and then it hits your small intestine. You get another little burst of nitric oxide, and then it's gone. And so you have to redose. So if you have angina or significant vascular disease, you have to redose the medication throughout the day in little bits at a time. And you have to keep at it. You can't take it for 2 weeks and then be done with it and go back to your old ways. It's a lifelong thing to try to keep that nitric oxide to, again, dilate blood vessels and repair the endothelium and repair, decrease plaque in the arteries. And so you keep unloading the garage, so to speak, and keep decreasing the junk in your blood vessels. Well, I think it can be like that in, daily dilemmas and in times like around the holidays or in COVID times when, things are rough and it's hard to stay out of a funk, or perhaps hard to stay on a plant-based diet when everybody else seems to be enjoying, overindulging in every way possible. By doing little bits, finding little bits of positivity along the way. Back to the light, seeing the lights in the morning gives me a little positive lift. Driving past somebody's decorations gives me a little positive lift. If I can look, finishing a run, one day this week, every mile got a little bit faster, something to look forward to during my run, little achievements with Sophie, that she's getting better, little accomplishments and things that are changing with my grandson, to see little things throughout the day that give you a bump of positivity and to really be focused on those, because I think so many times we focus on the negative. I just don't like this. Things are not good. This big umbrella of things. Life is good. Life is bad. And it's not all that. It's not all one way or the other. There are little things both ways along the way. It's what we choose to remember and kind of hang on to. So if you treat these little positive experiences like your greens and you give little dosage all the day, all during the day, it may aid you in helping to stay positive about the changes you're making with your diet. To help you see the beauty in eating plants and feeling and enjoy the creativity and finding something positive about what it is that you're doing with this change to try to get healthy. Everybody wants to be healthy. Nobody comes into my office saying they want to be fat or they want to be unhealthy or they want to have heart disease or they want to have cancer. That just doesn't occur. So I know everybody really wants to be healthy. It's can you endure the pain that it takes to change to become healthy? Do you have hope that there is a possibility of becoming healthy? I think that's where people get overwhelmed. The weight loss is too great to be able to see. The blockages are too great to be able to overcome. The cancer is too bad to be able to get around the other side. I think that's the overwhelming umbrella that brings us all down. And so if you can just see the little positives, little pieces, and it's not unlike, I've mentioned before, it's not unlike running a long race. It's the short distances. It's not the, oh, I've got to run 20 miles or I've got to run 50 miles. It's the first half mile and it's the mile and, it's how things are going right then and there and staying present. And so celebrating these positive wins, you got to have some positive stuff coming, to just keep the movement going forward, and taking time to enjoy the little things that are positive. If you hate to prepare meals and you hate to slice vegetables and you hate to cook, this is not going to work out for you. You're going to have to figure out some way to change so that you do enjoy being in the kitchen, whether it's making something that looks pretty for yourself, something that's creative, something that you find that tastes good, build on what you like, So if your tastes are very narrow, that you only like a few different vegetables, build on those. Fruit seems to be easy for most people to build on, add a new fruit, add a new vegetable. Add one new dish a week, but keep the other ones very simple. And look and see what you have in your refrigerator and in your pantry and kind of build a menu. I start out at the beginning of the week and kind of come up with a menu plan for the week. It doesn't always have to be in the order that I plan, but I take a vegetable inventory. I get a box from Misfits, which is a delivery service, and I know what's coming in that box, and then I add on to it from my local grocery store. I try to look and, you know, we do a soup once a week, at least when it's nice and cold. We might do two. So we did two soups this week. We've done chili and a pho soup. I'll repeat those for lunch. But then, you know, I look to see what's in my refrigerator and build on that. And I try to keep it simple during the week. You know, again, a vegetable, a greens, a nitric oxide producing vegetable, a bean, and a tomato, and a grain or a potato, and build around that. And sometimes it's just the simple vegetables. Sometimes it's a little bit more involved. Sometimes it's more of a stir fry or a one pot wonder. You know, I have a general menu of how I'm going to put things together, and it's planned in advance, so I don't have to panic at the end of the day of what I might do. And I think, I also look on Instagram and I'll see some pictures. If I see a picture of something that looks particularly good, I'll look at the recipe. Most of the time, I end up having to alter it. You know, there may be ingredients that I don't use, nut butters or oils are typically things that I'll eliminate. Maybe I'll put something in different. Maybe I'll substitute a vegetable that I have that wasn't in that particular recipe. But I use that for ideas for at least once a week to make something different. I hear people tell me that they're bored with plant-based meals, and I don't think that that's the real reason. I think they're bored with the idea of not being able to eat what they ate before. I think you have to think long and hard before you try to recreate something that was bad before. Somebody asked me in nutrition class this week, what about Christmas cookies? The reality of it is there's not much of a way to make a Christmas cookie that's going to be healthy. You can make a banana bread. You can make a zucchini bread. You can make an apple crisp. You can make a black bean brownie, but the cookies of yesteryear, at least in my family, required a lot of butter and a lot of sugar. It just can't recreate that. And that can really be derailing. The oil can be very inflammatory. The sugar is very inflammatory. It's a lot of calories. So it's something that you're probably better off staying away from. And typically that leads, you know, one cookie leads to more cookies, leads to more cookies. And so I think you have to put you have to put the brakes on that and say, that's just not something that I do anymore. Those foods cause me, you know, to be unhealthy. I don't want to eat them. I'll be honest with you. I've had conversations about, you know, not only sweets, but different foods over the years that I really liked before. I don't eat them anymore. They're not vegan. I'm not going to recreate them vegan. There's no way to make them healthy. So they're just a hard no. And I stay away from them. I don't pine over the fact that I can't have something because I enjoy the new things that I can have. And I also enjoy the health that I would not have had I continued to eat those things. And why torture yourself with something that you're going to imbibe that you have to try to detox yourself? I think it's a lot like an addict. You know, when you have, you can't have a little bit of cocaine, you can't have a little bit of Percocet. It leads, you need that dopamine that starts, you need more and more and more, more often and more often and more often. And there has to be a detox, and the detox is painful. You know, we talked the same thing with running. We talked about, you know, most of hating to get injured when running or doing some sort of athletic event, it's not the injury itself that's so bad. It's usually, you know, not horribly painful. You're just running, but it's something that keeps you from running. It means you have to have a comeback, and the comeback is what's so painful because you're starting from square one again and having to come back. And it gets old and it wears down, and there's a lot of pressure with having to come back. And I think there's people have shame in failing, a shame that they can't stay on. Why can't I and other people can't? But the reality of it is everybody struggles. There wouldn't be a million different diet plans and Weight Watchers and books and people claiming to be experts if it was easy. So, you know, first up, it's not easy to make a change. It can be very depressing, but it's all about how you approach things and what your attitude is towards that change. Do you really want it? And why do you want it? If it's because you want to, you know, be able to travel and do a lot of things and keep moving and keep active, then you have to train for it. You know, if you want to run a marathon, you have to train for it. You can't cram for it. You can't wait till it's almost time. And you can't cram for life either. You have to, you know, start now. And if you are trying to turn the clock back, if you have disease already, you don't have as much room to play as, you know, a 20-year-old that can eat poorly and maybe not feel the effects for a long time. So people that already have disease, they're to the point where they've had enough, and there isn't room to be on and off in their health span. And, you know, my father, when he was diagnosed with diabetes, it took a while, but when he finally, you know, came to the conclusion that yes, he was going to lose a lot of weight and he was going to get this under control, he admitted, he said, I've had enough pie for a lifetime. I don't need it anymore. And I think that was a really good attitude. You know, he loved pie. He loved sweets, but it didn't serve him anymore. And that was something that he had to give up and move on from in order to enjoy health in the future and become active. And so he had a lot of years after, you know, he was diagnosed with diabetes. He had to turn the clock back, but was able to enjoy many years of health before, you know, things caught up with him again. I heard today, I wish I could just be like other people and eat and drink what I wanted to and not have to worry about it. And I think you have to look and see what it is that other people have. Again, quote from my past, but my grandmother used to say, if everybody hung their laundry out, you want to bring your own in. And basically, you don't know, especially in the era of Facebook and everything's positive that we post, what other people have as their baggage and their struggle. And they may very well be struggling too and deny it. And most people, if you're going out, you know, especially if you're in a crowd of, a big Christmas party and you look around and people are overweight and they're overeating and overdrinking, most likely those people are on medications. And they've chosen to ignore it for the time being. Maybe they're ignoring it for a long time. It doesn't mean that they're healthy or they're getting away with it. It just means that they're choosing to ignore it and keeping their head in the sand. The good news is every day you get to start again. And so as long as you wake up, you get to choose. Is this going to be a good day or a bad day? And, each little step along the way, can I make this good? Can I make better choices in order to get me to my goal? I think if people were to actually have the conversation about their health and about what they truly want with other people, you would find some surprising things. I think there's a lot of people that wish they were healthy, but they just don't know how to go about it. And again, sharing a meal with people to show them that you're happy and healthy and this can be good is a great way to start that conversation. I think that start by bringing people into your own home. I know social distancing and gathering, but, you know, a few select people that have been social distancing that you feel comfortable with, have them into your home and share something with them, or take them something, share some food with them that's plant-based, or have the conversation at a gathering. You know, bring several covered dishes to family meetings. You don't have to preach to people, but again, just have that conversation and share your struggles, because I think that's the biggest elephant in the room is that we all have struggles and everybody has things that they're ashamed of and wish that they had better control of. But if you admit it, chances are somebody else will too. And it's a good way to get the conversation started and, you know, help people to make some more positive choices. So if you'd like our help, certainly go on over to drdelaney.com, drdelaney.com, and you can get a gift certificate to a Zoom class where Addie and I will be making six meals in early January on a Zoom class that'll be recorded. There'll be Q&As during live, and then we'll have the video will be available for the week after, as well as questions and answers that we'll we'll email back anybody that has questions, so we can start that conversation. So if you go to a party and you can start having that conversation and they'd like to learn more, that's a good way to start it. If you have family members that you'd like to get on board, we're happy to have that conversation for you or help you to answer the questions. I know a lot of times people get into a situation and there's rapid fire questions. Where do you get your protein? Where do you get your calcium? Where do you get your this and that? Don't you need meat? Where do you, I don't want to lose muscle mass. You see all kinds of things. Is your brain going to deteriorate if you don't get good fats? I try to avoid, I eat organic or why not keto? And a lot of people don't know the answer to those rapid fire questions, or they're not quite sure what's a complete protein. Where do you get, don't you have to combine, watch, that you're not going to be deficient in something. And I think knowing those answers and being able to rapid fire them back is really important. Where do you get your calcium? I get my calcium from oats and grains. Where do I get my protein? From everything. Everything has all nine essential amino acids. Essential amino acids are amino acids that your body can't make, that you need to eat them. But everything has them, just not in the same percentage as animal protein, such as human skeletal muscle or animal skeletal muscle. But the reality of it is we don't need a lot of those amino acids in the amounts that come in skeletal muscle. A lot of the branched chain amino acids, as well as methionine, we don't want a lot of those amino acids. They actually increase the risk of cancer. So we don't want a high percentage of muscle protein amino acids in our diet. So we get plenty of amino acids from bananas and greens and beans and grains. Am I going to lose muscle mass? No, I'm going to build muscle if I have adequate calorie intake. 10% of my calories come from protein. That's all that I need. Any excessive protein that I would take in and I don't use is going to be turned into fat. Am I afraid of eating fruit? Isn't fruit sugar? Nope. Fruit has fiber, antioxidants, phytonutrients. It's associated, it's very hydrating. So it breaks down for the most part to fructose. There's some glucose. My brain runs on glucose. Fruit is very, very healthy. Nobody has ever gotten sick just eating fruit. You might get bored if you just ate fruit. I get, fibers, one of the most important things that I need for my gut microbiome. And I need it from a diverse, array of vegetables. Only vegetables have fiber, so if I'm not eating vegetables, I'm not getting any fiber. I know I want 50 to 70 grams a day in order to maintain good gut health and anti-inflammation. It'll lower my cholesterol. So those are some of the rapid-fire questions. What about good fat? Well, if good fat, does that mean essential fatty acids? Most of the time, that's what people are referring to, but they don't know. They just think it's good fat, bad fat. People associate good fat with olive oil and avocados, but that's really not true. Good fat is omega-3 fatty acids and some omega-6s. We want more, we like a ratio of 1-3, omega-3 to 6. Omega-3 fatty acids go to things like dopamine and serotonin and anti-clotting and anti-inflammation. Omega-6s go to inflammatory factors and clotting. So we need that to be able to clot our blood, but not in excessive amounts. But the rest of the fats are just stored. They're storage. It's a storage molecule. So how much storage do you need? Luckily, we have grocery stores on every block and places to get food all over the place, so we don't need to store up for a six-month fast. So less is more. We know people that eat less calories do better than people that eat more calories. If you were just to overeat 10 calories a day for 365 days, it would be about a pound a year. So when people really overeat all, you know, continuously, it's a source of gaining weight. I lost my muscle. You started losing your muscle when you were 30 years old and it's declined, but you just covered it up with fat. So when the fat went away, now you see how little muscle you actually have. If you want to gain muscle, you've got to move and move your muscles. You've got to build muscle by doing strength and training and weight bearing exercises. So those are things that you can talk about with people, and be positive. You're eating living high energy foods. When you're eating plants, it should make you happier. 2020 has been hard for a lot of people, a lot harder for some than others. Sometimes people look back and they've had, you know, again, the pain of years gone by or the fear of the future. The future can be a little bit scary, but we need to kind of focus on the right here and now and the positive aspects of it. So just like we have positive memories from our past, hold on to those, but also grow them and grow them each day. I think you have to plant, you have to plant positive memories and make your own as you go. 2020 is coming to an end. Hopefully 2021 will be the end of COVID and it'll disappear, but it might not. And if it doesn't, we all have to deal with it. And I think the best way we can deal with it is being healthy and having a positive attitude and being kind to another. I think there's the worst thing that I've seen this year is the social isolation that people have experienced because of not being able to be around loved ones and being abandoned or being afraid or being angry towards people that they don't even know. I think to heal, we need to get rid of that, and we need to be kind to other people. And again, it's the simple things. You know, I was in the checkout line, and Publix, I got to give them credit. They put these great stuffed animals on the register, you know, so that you can buy a toy for you know, kids in need or toys for tot. And it's like buying a stuffed animal, seeing a stuffed animal, really made me happy when I was able to take that and put it into the box, to give to somebody else. So it's the little things that you can do. I don't know who's going to get it. But it made me happy to be able to buy it. And hopefully somebody will smile when they got it. Same thing when you check out with the checkout person, acknowledge them. They may have had a bad day. They may be really scared all day long that they have people coming in or are exposed potentially to becoming sick. Make them feel happy and give them acknowledgement that they deserve, and you'll get that positive energy back. So I hope you can take a little bit of this and share the health with other people. If you have any questions for us about our practice, you can email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. It's jami@drdelaney.com. We're going to continue to talk about some of the recipes that we do over Christmas time. We're having a potluck for our practice, and I'll share the recipes that they make in the next couple of episodes so you can have some ideas perhaps. Check out my Instagram post of things that I eat. It's Jamila Delaney. You can check out our Facebook page as well to see what's happening. If you'd like to join our running club, Plant-Based Striders, we'd love to have you, even if you're not in the Port Charlotte area. You can be a virtual runner. We love to see people's posts and pictures of where they're running. We had runners post running in 20-degree weather with snow on the ground this week. You know what troops they are to get out there and run. And there's nothing better than running with a buddy, especially on a cold morning, and sharing some cheer and sharing some encouragement. So get out and run. Join us if you need some buddy to be in your corner or be accountable for. Post on our Plant-Based Striders. I don't think it's bragging. I think it's showing people what you can do and encouraging other people to do the same. Again, it's just about being a little positive and sharing health with your neighbor, sharing health with your fellow human being and contacting them any way you possibly can. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.